Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, Can I Get a Witness? We'll also have music from the Sanctuary Choir. So join us now from the Sanctuary of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
in humility and confident of the mercy of God. Let us say the prayer of confession together. Gracious God, in your Son, Jesus Christ, you revealed the depth of your love for all people. Yet we confess that we do not always live up to the example he set for our lives. We admit that we struggled to truly love the people around us, to care as deeply for their well-being as for our own, to delight in their good fortune without feeling a bit envious. We are guilty of acting out our own self-interest, putting our needs and desires ahead of the needs of others, hoarding our resources rather than sharing them freely. Forgive us, we pray. Remind us again that your mercies are far greater than our sin. Through your Holy Spirit, continue the work that you have begun in us, so that our words and deeds may bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray, together and in the silence of our hearts. Hear the promise of Scripture. No one who believes in God shall be put to shame, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Friends, be at peace and believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 12. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the discernment of spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. The word of the Lord.
Our second lesson is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, the 10th chapter. Again, let's listen to God's word to us. But what does it say? The word is near you on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scriptures say, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all have obeyed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from what is heard. And what is heard comes through the word of Christ. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for the blessing of this day, for the privilege of worship, for this opportunity now to sit beneath the teaching of your word as it is shared with us. May the words of our mouths, may the meditations of our hearts together find acceptance in your sight. For it is you, Lord, and you alone we desire to please. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hard as it is to believe, it was just a week ago that we gathered in this sanctuary to celebrate the good news of the Easter day. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. I'll tell you, though, this past week, one of you told me a story, very cute, which is true. She greeted her neighbor in that way, saying, "Christ is risen." And he responded, "I know." He may not have known the appropriate liturgical response to that saying, but he knew the truth. We gather in worship today because, like him, like her, we know. And like the first disciples, we have been called and commissioned to tell others that we know. So this morning, we have invited three members of our TAB family to tell us in their own words what they know. The questions we ask them are very simple. We ask them to reflect on this. What does it mean to you to say that Jesus is alive? And what difference does that make in the way you live your life? We begin with Ruth Miller.
To know that Jesus is alive gives me a lot of hope. It gives me not an absence of fear, because I do struggle with anxiety and fear from time to time, but it gives me that underlying hope of glory, and the knowledge that there is now no condemnation for me. And that is something it's taken a long time for me to learn and to trust, but that is true for me. I often will hear myself saying things that are not true, that God doesn't love you. Is God really there? Is he really good? The same questions that Eve was asked. And to tell myself the truth, to preach the gospel to myself, is really important. And every time I roll my eyes at a Bible story that I've heard a million times, I tell myself, Ruth, listen to the story again, because you forget so easily. In times of doubt, it comes down to do you hold to what you believe? Do you really believe God, what he says? And the answer has been yes, even after a really hard time. It's kind of like it has to be. So I think that's the grace part, is that there's that gift of faith that is given to me, that yes, that is the answer, but that belief part and wrestling through what is it that I believe has been important. Motherhood is the season I'm in right now, and so it's made me think a lot about my relationship with God and how often I see that relationship between myself and my sons, and just see God's grace in my life, his faithfulness to me, his kindness and forbearance and patience with me, and how often I just don't see his plan. I don't see what he has is good for me in the moment, but it's given me an added layer of trust in that he's watching out for me. He knows what's going on. There's a plan. I just can't see it yet. The other day I was doing a recipe with my toddler, and so we're going through the steps, and I know the plan. I know you need to mix the dry ingredients before the wet ingredients, and he doesn't. He doesn't know what the final outcome will be. He doesn't know these steps, and he's just blindly trusting that I know. And of course, he wants to do it his way, which may not result in the desired outcome. And so having that patience with him and just, I really know what's gonna happen. Trust me. And so I hear that, trust me, in a different way. The two questions that John had sent were, what does it mean that Jesus is alive, and what does it mean for you personally? So for me personally, I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to parent my children perfectly. God has their hearts. No matter what I do, God's will be done, and it's not on me. So I think that's the overarching blessing for my life.
It's beautiful to hear Ruth speak about her growing hope and trust in God's goodness. And I love how she reminds us that at times we simply need to preach the gospel to ourselves, not just to others, but to us, out and in. Ruth, thank you. Good reminder to us. Listen now to the ways Caleb Goss feels called to live out his faith. Caleb.
So I was thinking, what does it mean for Jesus to be alive in my life? And one of the first things, among others, that came to mind was mid last year, my grandfather passed away. He was the first grandparent that I've lost. So that had an element of newness and a different type of grief associated with that than maybe other tragedies I've dealt with in my life. And I always think that he told me all the time, he said, be gentle, be kind, and be faithful. Those three statements stick with me to this day when I'm at church, when I'm outside of church, when I'm with my family, with my friends. And I've always thought that the greatest way to honor his life is to be a part of Jesus's life with the rest of my congregation and to keep living that out. I work with our media group, and I actually get to film the service and live stream the service at times. During COVID, this was our way for a lot of us to live out a faith life on a Sunday. And being a part of that was meaningful for a number of reasons. Obviously, it gave me a purpose as part of the congregation. It gave me a purpose in my faith life. Felt like I was contributing in a way that maybe not everyone has the opportunity to. So recently, I've been named a deacon here at CHAB. That's been a new way for me to serve personally. You know, part of our mission as deacons is to shepherd others, is to look out for the needs, whether they are known or unknown from our congregation, and be aware and be present and be available. And so I think that those elements are similar to the way Jesus is every day, right? He's always there, he's omnipotent, and he's always available. So for me, faith is a way that I can approach Jesus. You know, I think that there's an element of how do I bring tangibility to faith? You know, there, at times it can be unapproachable. It can be hard to quantify, hard to understand. How can I take action? How can I do beyond the feeling element of faith? I think for me, a lot of that comes back to how can I become involved with the church? How can I be involved with my congregation? Get to know my congregation. Because I think the act of knowing faithful people brings you closer naturally to Jesus in many ways that you might not plan for. The act of being around those that have similar faithful interests and faithful desires as yourself is a way that you can just get one step closer to what the ultimate goal is, which is knowing Jesus in every sense of the word.
Caleb is so intentional about listening to his grandfather's advice, be gentle, be kind, be faithful. But did you hear then how he said, I know I can't do this alone? I need to be part of a family, a congregation. I love how he said, my church family, my congregation. That sense of belonging that when you walk with others who are faithful, you find that you become more faithful yourself. He also reminds us that which we receive, we're called then to share with others. So his faith is best lived out through acts of service. Caleb, thank you. Bernice Corley joins Ruth and Caleb as she shares with us what her faith in Jesus shows in her life.
The fact that Jesus is alive, what that means for me is it just reminds me of a lifelong relationship and the import of a relationship with Jesus and how his presence and promises can be very real in all of our lives. For me personally, it was very important to my mom that I knew the Lord early. And so one of my first memories is of learning the Lord's Prayer. And so every night before bed, I had to come kneel next to her bed, and until I memorized it, you know, work on it over time until I finally got it. I just learned through church just God's promises. I mean, the word was just very rich in delivering, but that it wasn't just a Sunday thing, that God wanted a personal relationship with me. And if I would take those promises and really live by them, that I would experience God personally. And so for me, I have a lifetime of examples of how I just walked on faith and God met me. I had wanted to be a lawyer since I was a little girl. It was just always something I wanted. And so when I graduated from college and I took the LSAT, all that good stuff, I began to look at law schools. And I went to this national setting that had all the law schools in the nation there. And you could go table to table, learn about each one. And literally the last school on my way out of the door, Drake, stopped me, gave me their brochure. And then when I went home, I laid out all the brochures because I believed if I'm hearing right and God wants me to do this, then he has a place for me to go and he has a way for me to go. And so I prayed about it and I felt very clear that God was directing me to apply to Drake. And my father, after seeing the tour, was very concerned about the cost. It was $20,000 a year at that time. And he was like, I just don't know how much I can help you. And I said, Daddy, don't worry about it. Because if this is what God wants me to do, he'll make a way. So, you know, I did everything. I applied for everything I could apply for to get help. And I got a letter from Drake saying I had been accepted as a public interest scholar and that all 3 years of the tuition were taken care of. Every advancement that people made, whether it was women's rights or civil rights as a whole, there were lawyers there. And I wanted to be a part of helping people. And so to me, helping people meant being a lawyer. When people ask me about my work as a public defender, why was I interested in it, I always think of Jesus as the best public defender ever, because we're always being defended, right? He's interceding for us. And then when I think about his word of the least of these, to visit, to provide for, whether a person has a faith background or not, it is ministry work, because you're meeting people at their sincerest need. They could lose their freedom, they could lose their child, they could lose a great deal of things, and we get to be there to help them, to intercede for them, to advocate for them, to fight for them. It's fantastic. I just want to encourage everybody that what it means that Jesus is alive is that Jesus is available, and he's available to be very personal in our lives for each one of us. And that's the peace that I have, is that Jesus is alive, and so I'm not alone, and I'm truly taken care of.
These words which are carved into our chancel rail, as you did it unto me. Not just beautiful saying, not just a beautiful quote, but a life's calling for Bernice. As she set out on her walk of faith, God met her along the way as her guide, her friend, her advocate, her defender. And now her work is her ministry. Her ministry is her work. Please join me in thanking Ruth and Caleb and Bernice and Dave Streit for sharing their witness with us today. And friends, maybe the next time you hear someone say, Christ is risen, may we say, I know. And let's pray. Lord, we do know because of the witness that has been given to us. We pray now that these words will be planted in our hearts, seeds planted such that we might grow to bear fruit that brings honor and glory to you. These and all things we pray through Christ, our risen and reigning Lord. Lord, hear our prayer.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. There are many ways to enjoy today's message again. Subscribe to the Tab Podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to tabpres.org, tap on the graphic marked Sermons, and select the sermon you wish to hear. While there, you can also view the entire worship service. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel. And at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For all information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.
Why is there church?
Pastor John Gable of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis.
The word church conjures up many images, but at Tab we believe the church is called to demonstrate the values and practices of the kingdom of God. At Tab we envision a place where people grow strong in faith as they are equipped to serve others, where deep and loving relationships are created, where people work together to strengthen the community, advocate for justice, and promote God's peace and shalom. Oh, we're not there yet. But that is what we desire because we believe that's what God desires for the church, our community, and the world. Come see for yourself or find out more at tabpres.org.
Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis, invites you to worship Sunday morning at 8 or 10 a.m. If you can't make it in person, tune in to Sunday with Tab, Sunday mornings at 6:30 on WIBC, or find us online at tabpres.org.